people will say, well, marriage equality happens, so gay people don't have anything else to worry about now. And that's just not true. And it's still a time when people are really evolving on this issue.
Silas House, this week on WUKY's Bookmarks. I'm Josh James. I am seated across from author Silas House, whose new novel, Southernmost, dives into questions of faith and tolerance through the eyes of a Pentecostal preacher. It's been called a paean to the wisdom of the heart, and certainly touches on themes that will resonate with many in our current political climate. Silas, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, just give our audience a brief overview of the story and the conflict at the heart of it.
Well, Asher Sharp is a Pentecostal preacher in a small church outside of Nashville. And the same weekend that marriage equality is passed by the Supreme Court, a devastating flood happens, and especially hits hard his community. It's called Cumberland Valley, Tennessee. And two of the people who lose their homes are a gay couple, and they come to his house, and his wife refuses to let them stay there. She says that she can't have that around her children. This is a breaking point for Asher, who over the last 10 years has been really trying to evolve on this issue. His brother came out to him about 10 years before, and he rejected him, and he's regretted that ever since. And so this is his moment where he's like, all right, I've had enough. So he decides to make a stand in front of his church for these two men, and to tell the community they need to be more accepting and less judgmental. That causes him to lose his church, lose his marriage. He ends up kidnapping his son, and they run off to Key West. And so there's the real conflict of the book is, how far do you go to be what your idea of a good parent is?
Well, I'm sure there are many who have felt the same tugging between their faith and their personal experience. And we've seen that play out in mega churches before, where pastors announce that they've changed their belief on a big core tenet of the faith and then have to deal with the backlash from that. Why did you feel it was important to tell this story now?
Well, I think the book, when it's coming out, it's even more important now than it was when I was writing it, over the last 7 or 8 years, in that I think that we've lost our ability to talk in nuance and our ability to talk to each other. If we don't agree about something, we just shut it down. Whereas, when I was a child, I think that people were more likely to talk things out. And I just think that, people will say, well, marriage equality happens, so gay people don't have anything else to worry about now. And that's just not true. And it's still a time when people are really evolving on this issue. And there have been such great leaps forward. But at the same time, so many people pushing back against that.
Well, I was struck by the device of the flood as the event that kicks things off. Obviously, that has biblical overtones. Is the idea here that maybe we're facing a different type of reckoning today, one that's requiring people to re-examine, maybe critically re-examine their core beliefs?
Absolutely. However, I think, as a novelist, you have an idea and then you think, why does this happen at this moment? Why now? And so for me, one day I was listening to the radio and some preacher, I think it was Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson, one of the two, was saying how that this devastating flood that had hit Nashville was because we had taken prayer out of schools and because gay people were being embraced and et cetera, et cetera. And so I thought that's my reason for this novel happening right now, because, somebody has said this to this character and he just can't take it anymore.
Well, how difficult is it to tell a story like this in our current climate, as you said, with people maybe not doing as well and dealing with differences and different beliefs and keep it focused on these specific characters and not veer directly into politics? Because disentangling those two these days seems more and more difficult.
Well, yeah. As a novelist, the thing most important to me is to tell a human story. And so what's important to me are these characters and these issues, are sort of in the background, so that in an interview, you talk a lot about those, but in the novel, you know, they only show up every once in a while. They're more between the lines. You don't want to write a polemic. And so that's what I was really trying to do, is I was really trying to tell a story about how to be a good parent. And so one thing I wanted to do in the book was show every kind of parent, all the way from the parent who shoots at their son who comes out to them, all the way to the parent who's totally accepting of his child, and everything in between, you know, and the same with aspects of belief. I wanted to show every kind of believer, all the way from somebody who doesn't believe in anything but just wants to be a good person, all the way to somebody who's very fanatical about the religion.
There is this tendency to just categorize people very quickly today. And as you said, maybe not looking at nuance. Do you feel like the cards have been shuffled a bit here? I mean, politically, you've got a lot of strange bedfellows going on, and maybe people looking at each other a bit more as individuals.
In the book, you mean? Or
in the book and in general.
Yeah, I think because of the scenario, these people have been forced to do that. They've been forced to think in a more complicated way. I think so often, you know, we find ourselves in deep disagreement with people whom we really love. And that is really interesting, I think. That's the stuff of novels. You know, in a novel, you want as much trouble as possible. And there's nothing more troubling than being at complete odds with somebody you love profoundly.
Well, to shift gears a little bit, I've seen this book compared to a symphony with a fast-paced sort of allegro at the start, and it kind of settles into a slower adagio and then picks back up again. Was that something you consciously set out to do, or did that just naturally flow from the narrative?
I wish that I was that smart. I loved that review. And, you know, it's great when things happen like that with a book when, you know, I mean, I think if a book is working, then it organically works in those ways. It organically builds its structure in that way. I loved seeing that review. I'm glad you saw it.
Well, lastly, what do you hope readers, both newcomers to your work and the Silas House faithful, what they walk away with after reading Southernmost?
Well, I think always my books are about the dynamics of families. And that's what's most interesting to me. And really, I think everybody can relate to that. So you can't hardly go wrong writing about family dynamics or reading about them. So in that way, it's like all of my novels. But I do think it's different for me. The locale is somewhat different. Most of the book is set in Key West. But the characters are, you know, these rural people who are in Key West. And it's a road novel. It's about being on the run. But ultimately, I just hope that, you know, people come to a book wanting to be moved. That was my main goal with Southernmost, is for you to be moved in some way.
Silas House, Southernmost is the new novel. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Find more archived episodes of Bookmarks at WUKY.org.